Gospels you can read. Where Jesus says that he's the good shepherd. And I love it when he goes on to say, the sheep know my voice and they follow me. And that's appropriate for tonight at the Voice of God conference. It's comforting to us that we know that our God loves us and that he does speak to us. And he says that as his sheep, just like a good shepherd, we know his voice. There's a couple scriptures that have been speaking to me for the last, probably 3 weeks. And they have to do with God doing a new thing. I just want to read to you. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It says, I'm making a way for you. Amen. And then later in Revelation, and this reminds me that our God is the same. He never changes. He's good. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because in Revelation, he says, it says, he who is seated on the throne... It says, and he who was seated on the throne said this, behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write this down because it's true. Amen. It's an honor for me to welcome all of you here tonight for the second night of the Voice of God Conference. My name is Pastor Tom Stimson, and on behalf of my church here, I welcome you to Marion Christian Center. We're going to be blessed tonight because God is good. Each one of us. Each one of us. I just want to take a moment and I want to introduce our guests so we can just begin learning and just sitting at the feet of the Lord's teaching and just letting his word find soft spots in our hearts. I prayed earlier that each one of our hearts would be like good soil, that seeds of truth from the word of God would be planted and they'd grow in our hearts and in our lives and bear much fruit. That's my hope for this. It's my hope for myself and for each of you. So I want to introduce to you Z Ministries, ministry based out of Colorado. I'm just going to introduce you, Joseph, and let you do, just have the mic and have our time together, okay? So we just give it to you and you're welcome here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up for Joseph Z.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. Don't you love Pastor Tom? He's awesome. You know, I love who you are, brother. I love the way that you love the Lord and prefer the Holy Spirit. It's so wonderful to be with you guys. Thank you for having us. You guys are so kind, and we love you, and we're privileged to be here. So in just a moment, I'm going to introduce tonight's speaker, and I'm just coming here to open up the meeting tonight, say hi to everybody. And all of that. You know, we are so honored and privileged to be here standing with you. We love the body of Christ. It's what we do. We love it. And I just believe that God's going to touch you tonight, and it's going to be a mighty thing. You know, my wife Heather and I have had we've been in ministry probably for at least 20 years together, and I've been preaching for about 26, 27 years, just literally the gospel all the time. And moving in prophetic conferences and different things all over the world, you know, we've done everything from the stadiums to home churches to everything else in between. And the Lord's really had us on this journey. And one of the highlights in our journey has been coming into contact with Ryan Edbert. Ryan just said, amen. And part of the thing that I love about Ryan is not religious at all, like at all. And I've known Ryan now roughly 15 years of just doing ministry together. And when I met Ryan, I had had an open vision, like a day vision, before I met him. I saw him in a vision before I met him. And the Lord showed me I was going to meet a guy and we're going to build all these platforms and do stuff all over the world. And without going into the whole vision, then I met Ryan and there he was. And I realized that was the guy I saw in my vision. And at the time, Ryan had bleached blonde hair. He was traveling around the country, rocking it. He had number one singles in Christian rock, and he was doing all these things. And it was just about the time, I think he was about to get married, a number of things. And God's done a lot through Ryan. And just to tell you a little bit about him, he thinks like a CEO. He has a minister's heart, but he has a business mind for building platforms in the kingdom of God. And that's what we do. So together, we make up what we call the Kingdom Movement. And inside of Kingdom Movement are a number of platforms. The number one is Kingdom Youth Conference. And Kingdom Youth Conference, we are reaching out to the young people of this nation in a intentional and dramatic way to bring young people to Jesus and not just get them saved. We do that the first night. And the last night, we're up there speaking in tongues and filled with the Holy Ghost, ready to go and offend religion everywhere. Praise God. Anyway, but we really want to get them loaded up with the power of God. That's what we do at Kingdom Youth. We're making disciples. And then we have Kingdom Women, which is called True Beauty. The women's conference is named True Beauty. My wife Heather's the keynote for that. And of course, Ryan and I have developed many of these platforms. And there's many more that are happening. There's worship tours. There are Kingdom Missions, which Joshua Coley and Mary are here tonight. Josh, can you just kind of say hi to everybody? This is Joshua Coley. And Josh is literally going to help with some of that. And Josh also has a ministry for that. And so he's part of this kingdom movement. And so there's a number of these things we're doing. And I just want to say to you that it's really powerful and it's good to have partnership like that. So Ryan and I have been preaching for a long time together doing ministry. And one thing about Ryan, he's a great dad. He's got four beautiful children. He's got an awesome wife. He's a great father, great husband, a good leader in ministry, manages business well, and he's coming in demand where ministries all over want a piece of the action with Kingdom Movement because of Ryan's leadership and the way that God's raised him up. So he also has the Word of God in his mouth. And so I just want to tell you, you know, Ryan has a gift of healing. I've seen many people healed when he's prayed for them. Things happen miraculously in his meetings. And even after concerts, he'll get done singing and doing stuff. He comes down, prays for people, and they get healed. And so without going on further, I just want to say to you, Ryan Edberg is my friend. I've enjoyed ministering with him, and I'm so thrilled that we get the privilege to be together with you tonight for this Voice of God meetings and all of that. So without going any further, I just want to say to you, please welcome my friend, my partner, the man of God, Ryan Edberg, tonight as he comes to bring the word.
Well, between Pastor Tom and Joe, they really took all my material, so I want to thank you guys and just sit back down. It's good to be here tonight. Are you guys feeling good? Good. I'm excited to speak tonight. I thought Joe was going to go in a little bit about Josh's testimony. I mean, he got saved under our ministry. He came out of a lot of different things. And just maybe you guys want to line up later, and Josh would love to share some of the struggles he had. And it'll really bless you, for sure. See, that's what happens when you come. Just kidding. But I'm excited to be here. Like Joe said, I'm definitely the man of his dreams. And we went out to eat today at a wonderful place, steakhouse, and they said, "So where did you guys meet?" And I said, "Well, it was on eHarmony." And it was, we got to find one of those Christian sites where it's like, pastor looking for profit. Oh, we're a connect. That's great. Let's start ministry together. I don't know. If anybody does go make that, I just want 10% for the idea. But that's the CEO part, I guess. But I'm excited to be here. I got four wonderful kids, two more that I don't like too much. But I've got, just kidding, just four kids total. We're from Nashville, Tennessee. I was in the music industry for a long time. I got to tour with some of the biggest Christian rock bands that there are. All of them need to be saved. But it was good to have that life experience and touring on the road and just getting to meet different pastors in different churches. How we met Pastor Tom was doing different concerts and stuff back in the day. And I said this yesterday to him, but he is the only pastor in a good way that lied to me. So most pastors lie to you, and it's not in a good way, but I'm just... just kidding. But we showed up, Pastor Tom's like, "Well, maybe there will be 50 people here. We're hoping for 50. And there's like 250 people. This guy knows how to put stuff together." So we just connected well with Pastor Tom over, I don't even know how long it's been. 10 years? 12 years? I don't know. We didn't get the best friends bracelet yet, but we're working on it. It's been good. Start having more dreams. I'm just saying. But yeah, I've been been doing ministry for a while, and you know, I don't know about you guys, but where I come from, I came from a Christian church, a denominational setting, but we really believed in the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit. We believed in all of that, but it wasn't practiced at the church. It wasn't talked about. In fact, if somebody was speaking in tongues in there, everyone would stop and look. If there was a miracle or something, it was on the bulletin board for a long time. It wasn't the normal, and we sure never had anybody prophesy. And so when I met Joe, it was at a Bible study that we had started, and it really threw me off for a bit. Like, it was just something that I didn't understand. Like, it was in the Bible, but instead of getting offended and being like, well, I can't get behind that, it really made me go to the Word. And I started to study, I started to do research, and I started to say, well, it lines up with this and this and this. And then I started to get upset with the church. I'm like, well, why aren't we doing this more? Why aren't we, what's happening? I mean, if it's in the Bible and there's people out there doing it, why have I never heard of this? And I'm in my 20s. And so just connecting with Joe and Heather and their ministry has really helped and brought me along in a far way, just to open up your mind to the Word and just to see everything that God has for you. Was anybody here last night? Anybody new today? Josh and his testimony, good. But last night, Joe gave a powerful message, and I want to pick up where he left off, because it's such a powerful message of not just coming to the cross and to the right side of the cross and saying, God, please give, we're sorry, this and this and this, and begging and pleading, but being on the other side of the cross where we look back at the cross and say, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the finished works of Jesus Christ. Because here, this is the most pivotal thing, is the cross. But we've still got a generation and a church that is still just coming straight to the cross. Did you know that heaven, we think that coming to the cross is so that we can get into heaven. And that's a great thing, but did you know that you were never meant for heaven? That was never meant for you. In the beginning, God created the earth and put man on it, gave him dominion of the earth, and we think that our end goal is heaven. Jesus didn't die to get you into heaven. In fact, in the end, God's going to make a new earth. Jesus didn't die to get you into heaven. He died to get heaven into you. And he wants to have the power of heaven. We get so caught up in the scriptures of just stuff that we recite as kids, of just even John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we just rattle it off as fast as we can. It doesn't have any meaning. And we're done. And we got our gold star in Sunday school. But if you read through some of that stuff, and the Lord's Prayer and all this stuff, it talks about heaven on earth. It talks about the power of what he wants us to have here and now and what we can have. Jesus didn't die so that we could go to heaven. He died to restore the curse that the devil brought. He restored to change things back to the way they were. And it took me a while to figure that out. I remember on tour where we were traveling, and we had this pastor with us. Some people may know him. But I won't even say his name. But we had this pastor with us who did not believe in anything like that. And who knows why he was with us traveling and all this stuff. But he was like, well, speaking in tongues is the worst gift there is. I'm like, what? Why are you talking like that? Like, well, it's just a selfish gift, right? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, it's just to edify yourself. I'm like, man, you're dumb. And he was just talking, well, it's just a selfish gift. Why would you want something like that? I said, are you not in God's army? You believe you're in the army of God? Yeah. I said, well, let's just take the U.S. Do you think if the U.S. Marines, when they go and do a couple push-ups to build themselves up, it's selfish? Or are you happy that they do that? You want to send a few Marines to go take over something with all they do is the cupcake workout? I mean, here comes the powder puffs to get you. You know, it's not a selfish gift. We need to be strong in the Lord. We need to build ourselves up so we're ready for what the devil throws at us. And we had pastors, and so he's with us on this stuff, and he's going through scripture, and I'm going back and arguing. And we're just going back and forth, and there's no demonic stuff in the world. There's none of this happens anymore until we got to California. We were in California, and he's praying with this kid. He said, "Can I pray with you?" And he lays hands on this kid, and he's like, "In the name of Jesus." And this kid, eyes turned different colors, and starts in this deep voice and says, blah, blah, whatever he says. And this guy freaks out. I'm sure he went and changed his pants right after. But he didn't know what to do. We're in the middle of a concert. He's over there screaming in a corner at this kid like that's going to help. And so there's this huge scene. We brought this kid back. We prayed over him. The guy watched it. And after, he's like, "Well, I guess it's real. I guess I believe in that." And just being out there on the road, he saw so many things happen. We saw miracles. We saw stuff happen. And through the whole situation, it doesn't matter, like, all the religion you had in the world, you know, 40 years of religion, when God comes and shows up at a place, that can go all out the door real quick. And we talked last night, we said that it says that we don't just come in word only, but in power and of the Holy Spirit. And we have a church that's just talking in word only. And here's the thing, we have a generation out there that does not believe in God or the Bible. And so how are you going to argue with them using the Bible that they don't believe in? So if somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, well, what do you think about Hogwarts or Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings?" And you don't believe in it. You're like, "Well, that's just a fairy tale." And you're like, "Oh, no. In the third chapter of the book." And you just start going into it. They're like, and we have a church that's trying to debate, go back. "Well, of course you're sinning. Read this chapter." "Well, I don't believe in the book." No. But look at here in this chapter. And what they really need is the power of God. The power of God to come in and change their life so that when they have an encounter, they have a miracle, they have a breakthrough, then that turns them to the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit and power, but there is no Holy Spirit and power without the Word. The Word is what gives the power. And so, but before we show them the Word, if they don't believe in the Word, we can't have this debate back and forth because we all just get exhausted. But we pray for somebody, we pray for these students, and they get a breakthrough, and all of a sudden they're open to, "What else do you want to tell me? You know, my life was headed this way. This is what happened. I was addicted to this, that, and another thing. And you prayed for me and it all went away. My back was hurt and all of a sudden you prayed for me and it doesn't hurt anymore." So we were on tour with this guy and we went to this Baptist school. I can say Baptist, right? Denominational setting school. I didn't mean to say it. It slipped out. I'll tell you, we went to this school with a setting that was, they didn't really want us to do gifts of the Spirit too much. But anyways, we were there and this girl came up and she had a back problem. And I gave a message on finding your call in life and how to find the will of God in your life. It wasn't anything on anything else except for I was trying to go very basic for students and really help them because they were in school and that was what they'd asked me to speak on. And so we did that. And she came up after crying, just saying, I wanted to play volleyball. God had called me to play volleyball and my back is hurt now. And now I can't fulfill the call of God in my life because my back is broke or whatever it was. And so I was like, "Well, I'm not sure that that's what God's calling you to do is play volleyball, but maybe, but I do know that God can heal you. And if you would like, I'll pray for you for sure." And so I'm still young at this time. You know, my faith is like up and down all over the map. But I knew that God could heal and that he wanted to heal and that. And I prayed for this girl and we just prayed for her. And after she kind of went away and at lunchtime, she came running up crying and hugged me. And I'm like, "What's happening?" And she was showing me, she's bending all over. And I didn't know this girl. So this could have been great. It could have been normal for her. I have no clue her situation. But I just was like, "That's awesome, you know?" She's like, "No, God totally healed me." "Well, that's awesome. I can see you're moving." And so it didn't like, it wasn't like this huge revealing to me. But we went to a main session where there's 500 students. And they're all in this big session. And she gets up on stage. And she starts wiggling around. And the whole place erupts. So now I realize it is a big deal. I'm looking around and She's like, and you guys know that my back hurt, and that guy prayed for me in the back, and now look at me. And the whole place turns and looks, and they dismissed, and the whole place stood up, and I had a line down the place. And I was like, oh, Lord, be with me now. Be with your servant. Here I am, Lord. Don't leave me. So I'm there. I'm praying for people. I pray for this girl in her knee, and she's like, well, I can't run my track. I broke it. The doctor said I can't run, so I'm out for the track season. And it's amazing when you talk to students. They're like 100, like, their difficulties and what the biggest struggle, like my knee, I can't do track. It's the worst thing ever. My life is crumbling, you know, but to them, this is really serious stuff. And so I'm praying over for a track and I'm like, how do you feel? And she's like, I don't know. I'll maybe go to track tonight and tell you. I'm like, how about you run right now? And so she starts running around the place. She's crying. The faith in the room goes up through the roof, where it's not anything that I'm doing, but their faith in God is moving. And so I think there could have been a dead person right there, and I think you would have just jumped up and started dancing. That was the kind of the situation that it was. And so I'm praying for everybody, and they're being healed. And so much so that when we were loading in, there was a girl that was deaf. And I remembered she was deaf out of one ear. And I said, hey, you need to come over here. God's healing everybody. It's your time to be healed. And she's like, no, it's not healing I need. I said, well, I thought you couldn't hear out of one ear. He's like, yeah, but it's not healing. When I was 3, my dad hit me in the head with a pipe. And it's between my brain and my ear. I'm like, I'm sorry about that, but that's still healing. No, it's not my ears. It's my... And she's just trying to argue herself out of a miracle. And all of these excuses. And I said, I don't care about any of that. I don't know exactly everything that's happening perfectly. I don't need to go down this theological whatever of this. Let me pray in your deaf ear. You stop me whenever you can hear, and let's go from there. So I'm not joking to you. I went in her deaf ear, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I just pray. And she said, stop. I can hear. I'm like, what? I didn't even get to the good part yet. What are you talking about? I was really about to call heaven down. Don't stop me. And she's like, no, I can hear. I'm like, well, all right. I'm like, you know, the girl with her twisted ankle and hurt knee and running around the place screaming and crying. This girl that couldn't hear since she was 3 was like, yeah, I can hear. I'm like, well, I guess you win some, you lose some. I don't know what's happening, but you didn't give me the response I needed to feel good about myself. So should we try it again? She's like, no, I can hear it. And so she left, and I'm like, man, God, what was that? Like, everybody you were healing, and then you missed this. And oh, God, I'm really feeling for this girl. And so I'm like, I'm going to go pray for her again. So I go out. I see her. She's standing in the corner with her back to me. And I start to walk up, and I hear her on the phone talking and say, no, Mom, you don't understand. This is my deaf ear. I'm talking out of my deaf ear. And she's just crying. And I'm like, well, God, you're a tricky God. You know, it's like things don't always go the way that I think it should. But and people's reactions are different. But God is God, and he loves his people. And he was wanting to move in power. And so there's different things that my passion is, like Joe is talking about, not just coming to the cross, but beyond the cross and the finished works of Jesus Christ. If Jesus said that you can do greater things than I can, then why don't we see it? But what's happening? If we look and we read through the Bible and we see what the disciples are doing and what Jesus are doing, and we look today at the American church, it should break your heart. Why doesn't it look the same? What's happening? And so that's my heart's cry, is to go through this. And, you know, like I said, Jesus didn't die to bring you to heaven. He died to get heaven into you so that you can be the victory that he needed to do. And we talked a little bit about Jesus coming on earth last night and walking down here, and we talk a lot about the sovereignty of God, and that's the horrible teaching about this God's in charge, and we're using pop culture yesterday, so we might as well today. We think that he's like Thanos on the new Avengers, where he just snaps his fingers and everything just gets switched around. But that's not God. You know, I think that, and I can argue that point with one word, Jesus. Because if you think that God is an all-controlling God that can do anything and just come in and just whatever, then why in the whole world would he choose to send his self as Jesus, God in the flesh, to come down here and to be beat, tortured, bruised, crucified on a cross? That's his A plan? That doesn't even make sense. I think that God decided to do that because there was no other way. He had to come down in flesh because he gave dominion to flesh. So he came down, like Joe talked about, beat the devil at his own game. Now, in that same kind of thought process, so if God had to come down to do something in the flesh, and that's the two parts of God, the third part, the Holy Spirit coming down to be inside of us to get something done. Even Jesus said, I'm going to read this. You guys mind if I read a little scripture at church? I don't know what kind of church this is. We might not. It just got real quiet quick, so I just thought. I'm going to read this to you real quick. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12, it says, but as written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, for what man knows, the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, which we have on the inside of us. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wanted to come down here, and he sent his son to change things back, to level the playing field again. And then when Jesus said, I'm going to come back, he was telling the disciples, it's about to get good, because I'm going to send you the helper, he's called. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. We have so many Christians today that are getting self-help books instead of turning to the helper. You don't need a self-help book when you've got the helper living on the inside of you. It talks about my people perish because of lack of knowledge. They think that they've got just a part of knowledge and they have just a little bit of it, but you're missing so much of it. They think that if you just come to the cross, then that's the knowledge. But what about everything else that Jesus paid for? If you have just knowledge in the salvation part, but you're missing about the healing, prosperity, wholeness, wellness, everything else about it, then you're missing knowledge from it. And so God just didn't die. It says that I've came to give you life and life more abundantly, life to the full, so that you can have everything that Jesus had. He said that you and I are one as I and the Father are one. Everything that was mine, I have given to you. And so once you have, if you have what Jesus had, why don't you look like Jesus looked? Why don't we act like Jesus act? There's a world that's hurting. And Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. He said, I'm coming again. Let me read this to you too. I do want to bring up another point that I do like. I was reading this the other day. This doesn't have anything to do with my message, but it does. I'm serious. But I just like this so much. I was reading through this, and it was in John 16, 8 through 11, and it really, I think the guy was showing me some stuff through it, and it says, when he's come, He will convict, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you won't see me anymore. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Mm-hmm. Why is that important? See, we think that the Holy Spirit is there judging us. And he's really judging us and condemning us and doing all this stuff. And that's right. The Holy Spirit will correct you. But right here it talks about the Holy Spirit judging the world because they don't know God. They're judging the world. They're convicting. They're judging us of righteousness. Why do you need conviction of righteousness? Because the church doesn't know they're righteous. They don't know who they are. So the Holy Spirit is inside of you, convicting you that you are righteous, that you have it all, that it's all been paid, and that you are just like God. The Holy Spirit is literally convicting you of righteousness. We need conviction in the church that we're righteous, that it was paid, and that God is for us and not against us. And it talks about convicting the world. We'll be judged. The ruler of this world, meaning the devil, is going to be judged. You are not going to be judged. You're supposed to be convicted of your righteousness so you act like it. So that's what, it got me fired up and I was like, well, the Holy Spirit's judging. Ooh, scary. But it's talking about the world is being judged, convicted onto him. You're being convicted of your righteousness and who you are. And the devil, yes, he will be judged. With rock and roll music behind it. But even Jesus, when he was leaving, he was telling the disciples, he said, I'm gonna go, but it's about to get good because I'm gonna send to you the helper. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans, but here's a catchphrase right at the very end. He says, I will come to you. Meaning, I am the Holy Spirit. I am God. I am one. I'm gonna take off for a moment and set my body up. I'm coming right back. I am gonna be inside of you. We are going to be one, and you are gonna do greater things than I have done because now we're connected. Now, instead of just me doing everything here, I'm gonna go and be in all of you. I'm going to replicate myself into all of you so you all have what I have. That's powerful. And we need that Holy Spirit part to convict us of what we have in our righteousness. Speak on the inside and say, don't give up. Don't quit. You don't know who you are yet. And me and Joe, we always talk about it. So what we say is that the devil is not afraid of who you are in Christ. He knows it. He's afraid you'll figure it out, though. Once you figure it out, there's nothing you can't do. And we look at ourselves sometime as this, you know, we've got nothing. We just are nothing. You know, if without Christ, you're nothing. That's the church's big saying. Without Christ, you're nothing. Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. But I don't know why we keep saying it in church because it doesn't apply to us. Without Christ, you're nothing. But if that's true, then the opposite must be true. That with Christ, you are everything. Amen. And that with Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And instead of coming to the cross and begging for salvation or begging for healing or begging for breakthrough in our finances, we need to be here thanking God for all of that stuff until it gets into our heart and manifests into the natural so we can, oh my goodness. It would be foolish if we were to come to church. Pastor Tom would give this incredible message and say, I want you guys to all come up here and I need you to just beg Jesus to die on the cross. Today we're going to receive Jesus. So God, will you die on the cross? Send your son to die on the cross. Please die on the cross. No, that would be ridiculous because we know that he died on the cross. We put our faith on what Jesus did. But still we have a church saying, God, will you please heal me? Will you please heal me? Will you please heal me? When he said that by my stripes you were healed, past tense. And we think that we've got nothing when Jesus has said, I've given you everything, that you are the blessed, highly favored, the head and not the tail, that I'm going to bless you and prosper you and multiply what your hands touch. And we're saying, God, will you please? And he's saying, yes, I did. Read my book. Believe it. See, we have all this head knowledge of the Bible. It has to sink down. Oh, I'm going to preach. You're just getting ahead of me. I'm just kidding. It has to get down into your heart so you believe it, and it's, you start to act on it. It starts to come through you. It talks about the work to rest. How do you even work to rest? Why do you work to rest? It says that you need to rest in my presence. Resting is knowing that it's all finished in Jesus Christ. But how do we need to rest, but that doesn't mean laziness. That doesn't mean we sit back and say, God, I'm on my couch watching Netflix. Send me a check. I'm believing you. No, it means that you rest knowing that he paid it all and that he's got you, and that you need to work to rest. Because how many of you know, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor, priest, whatever it is, how long you've been a Christian, if you get a bad report from the doctor, it hits you right here. And you're going to have to work right here to get back into that place of rest, to say, okay, well, this is bad. I can see it. I can feel it. It's right in front of me. But you need to get back to say, no, Jesus said that by my stripes, I was healed already. It says that he's got me taken care of. And this may look bad right now, but you work, you renew your mind like Romans 12:2 talks about. You renew your mind to get back to that place of rest, to say, God, this looks bad, but I know you've got me. And that's when you start to get breakthrough, when you've learned the word enough that it becomes more real than the situation you can see in front of you. The word of God is powerful. We talked a little bit, Joe mentioned about Peter walking on the water. He gave a word to somebody saying, you're like Peter, just step out on the water. The thing is look at the story. The story is cool because Peter got out and walked on the water. That's a miracle. That's a man like you and me. But why was he able to walk on the water? Look what he did beforehand. He said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. And when Jesus said, come, he got out. He was no longer walking on water. Water is impossible to walk on. He was walking on the word of God. The word that said, come, which changed everything in the natural. The natural situation is we can't walk on water. But when God says, come, all of a sudden the natural's changed. And so the word that is said in the Bible, and that's why we need to learn it, renew our mind to get it down into our heart, comes forth. That's when we can have actual power to say, I know what I'm called to do. And God, this looks like a situation that I can't get through. But if you said it, it changed the situation. It changes a situation. I've been in so many situations that look dark. You know, we all have. We've all been in those situations. You might be in a situation now. You need to work to get back into the rest. Because let me tell you that the spiritual is more powerful than the natural. And we can win. And we think that we've got nothing. We think that we are nothing. You look at the way that the disciples prayed. And even they walked up and there's a man begging. You remember the story. They were begging there and saying, please give me something. And what did they say? Silver and gold, I don't have. What you're looking for, I don't got. But what I do have... They didn't say what God has or what God could work through me to do this or what freely they had been given and they were freely giving. He said, this is what I do have. You think you want this? I don't got that. But this is what I do have. Get up and walk. And sometimes we're thinking about, well, I've got to do it this way, or God, I'm a low life. Please just use me if you find, if you can smile on me for the day, Lord, maybe I could do something. And if we have that mentality, it's really too hard to walk in power and authority. It's really hard to walk with confidence, not in arrogance, but no, you don't know what I got in here. You don't know the same power that raised Christ from the dead right here on the inside. It's not me, but I can do me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I want to see a church. I want to see a generation. I want to see the body of Christ get that. If we had, man, if you guys had your leaders and stuff go into the hospital and raise up a few people, the place would be packed. If the churches all over America would get out of their secret closets of patting themselves on the back and saying we're doing good, and get out there and love somebody and say, I don't got what you need right now, but I've got something that you don't even know you need. You think you need these pills? You don't need that. I don't got that. This is what I do have. Stand up, walk, pull yourself out of there, be delivered of addiction. That's a generation that we have, and that's what we need. And when we start to, instead of just coming at the Bible and throwing verse after verse after verse with them, we walk and we say, here's what I've got for you. You want to know how I did that? Here's the word. Here's all of my power right here working through you. And I want to encourage you guys that God has called us all to be more than we think we ever could be. You think that you're a business leader? No, you're a minister in the business field. You think that you work at a hospital? No. You're a healer at the hospital. You think you're in this, that, or another thing? You are a minister wherever you're at. It says to go into all the world and make disciples. That doesn't mean we all run to Africa. That means where are you at? Where are you at? There's enough of us. Where are you at? If Jesus could change this place around with 12, we got enough. Where are you at? Who are you touching? Who's your sphere of influence? What people are you ministering to? Or do they not even know you're a Christian? God has called us to so much more. And I want the church to rise up and be everything that God has called them to be. Because the church and the world deserves to see mature believers. We sound a lot alike sometimes. If you preach together for 15 years, you sometimes just say the same things. Did you guys get something out of tonight? I want to encourage you guys. I just want to say, we didn't just come in word only. We came to pray with you guys. We came to see breakthrough. We came to see deliverance. We came to see, because if the church isn't healthy, they can't fix the world. And we're too busy going back and forth at the church over the little things to go out and be effective. And so we want to see the church healthy. The church, no. And we're going to minister tonight. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to see people set free. Joe's going to give words. And I just want to encourage you guys to buckle in your seatbelt, because I believe that God is not just out there, but he's in this room because I brought him and you did too. Amen. And as soon as we leave the church, he's there with you too. Amen. He wasn't waiting in this room for us to get in here. So I do want to encourage you guys today. God loves you. You are more than you even can wrap your head around. We don't even have a glimpse of what we could do. If we start to believe and put our faith, and it's not just in the little, like salvation, whatever. It's everything that the word says you can have. Everything. If it's in the book, it's mine. If God said that, Jesus, I'm giving you everything that I have, and he came in God's name, and Jesus said, I got to head back, but I'm going to send you a helper, and I'm going to give you everything that I've got. You've got everything that God's got. Heaven on earth. You've got it. Jesus died to get heaven in you. It is in you. Let it go. I'm going to invite Joe back up. He's going to knock it out of the park. We're going to pray for people. But thank you guys for letting us even be here.
Praise God.
Well, you get something out of that word tonight. That's steak you can sink your teeth into, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46 says this. It says, the spiritual is not first, but the natural is first. How many of you know there's a here and a there principle? Here, mortal men receive tithes. There, it is witnessed of whom he lives. He sees them. Hebrews 7, verse 8. We recognize that there's a here and a there principle. There's an Ark of the Covenant in heaven. There's an Ark of the Covenant on earth. There's a temple in heaven. There's a temple on earth. Let it be in on earth as it is in heaven. You understand some of these things. There's a here and a there principle. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46, it says, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. Meaning this, what we do in the natural unlocks that supernatural there. It unlocks what God's already given us. It unlocks what's already present. It unlocks what is already there. When Ryan talked about Peter walking on the water, he was walking on the Word. You can have it if he said it. Let me say this even stronger. The there principle is the parent force. The Spirit is the parent force. You say, why is that true? How is that possible? If I said to everybody here tonight, what is stronger, the natural or the spiritual? What's the greater authority, the natural or the spiritual? Most people would say, the spiritual. But they don't know why. They say, yeah, it's the Spirit. But they don't know why. Here's the reason why. This natural world did not give birth to the realm of the unseen. A bunch of people didn't sit around in a room and start talking about the realm of the unseen, and all of a sudden, poof, God was created. Contrary to what atheists and all kinds of high thinkers would come up to conclusions today. No, rather, just the opposite is true. God was in the Spirit. He stepped into darkness and said, light be, light become, let there be light. And when he spoke it, this natural world was created in six, and he rested on the seventh day. Now, what do we have to realize? What do we realize about that? That the natural world was birthed from the Spirit. So therefore, the Spirit is the parent force, the parent reality. The Spirit is more real than this realm. So when we start to speak the Word of God is Spirit made flesh. And when we stand on that Word of God, just like Peter walking on the water, we stand on the Word of God. You confess the Word of God. You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth. That works also in your daily walk, not just your salvation. You're born again through it, and then you can also execute with it. As you have received Him, so walk ye in Him. Believing in your heart, confessing it with your mouth. Now, when you get this understanding in place, guys, you can begin to move mountains. You can do things. You can have pain. You can have things going on in your body. You can have depression. You can have a fight in your heart. You can have things going on. And literally, the realm of the supernatural is stronger. It's stronger. Ryan just totally laid it out for us. It's stronger. So we got to get better at speaking to things. You got pain in your body, you say, oh, hold up. Hey, pain, I have authority in the name of Jesus. Get off my body. And then pain goes, mm-mm. And you say, I don't think you heard me. You can speak to pain. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. He said, speak to the mountain, and it'll be cast into the ocean. And then everybody says, that was symbolic. Well, I didn't see where it said it was symbolic. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can do anything. Anything. It just means if you have faith, praise God. To each one of us has been given a measure of faith. And some people think, well, you got a bathtub. You got a swimming pool. I got the ocean. I got a thimbleful. You got this. No. A measure of faith means we all equally partook of the faith of Jesus. You're using the same faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. One verse says in, another one says of. We live by the faith of the Son of God who gave his life for us. Of the Son of God. What does that mean? You're using the same faith that Jesus accessed to raise Lazarus from the dead. You're using the same faith when Jesus spoke to a fig tree and it withered up. People say, well, he spoke to it and they didn't notice anything. Then they came back and said, look, Lord, it happened. It was two different accounts in two different gospels. And you recognize in the second one that he cursed it. The roots died the next day because it says it died instantly. They didn't see it. The next day they saw the fruit of it because it had died from the inside out. And the next day it was dead. Praise God. So here's what I want to say about this. Ryan's word tonight was so powerful. And if you let that get into your heart, when Ryan said the phrase, his words, when he speaks, he spoke it. He said it. If God said it, I can have it. If God said it, I can possess it. If God said it, I get to have it. If God said it, you get to have it. If it says in 1 Peter, by his stripes we are healed, you get to have it. If God says I get to be blessed superfluously, blessed beyond all comprehension financially, I get to have it. And some people say, I don't know if I like that. Well, I don't care. Stay broke. You get to have it. You get to have it. Praise God. Let me talk about this just for a moment. How much is too much? I had a day vision the other day. You know, you get day visions, and I'm not an existentialist where I just think if I have an experience, now it's truth. You got to go to the Word of God and get grounded in it. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, learn from us to not go beyond what is written. But if I have an encounter with the Lord, something happens, I don't go beyond what is written. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had entities show up in my room and talk to me, hover over me and stuff and say things, you know? You know what I do with that? I go back to sleep. A lot of goofy Christians will be like, woo! Well, what is this, Lord? Is it some weird thing? Is it an entity trying to speak to me? Man, I'll tell you what, we ought not to wander into things we don't understand that's outside the Word of God. And if you're gifted and perceptive, you'll have weird stuff take place. Praise God. And some people go write a book about it and try to get moving forward. That's pure stupidity. Stick with the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. If I talked about all my encounters, woo, Jesus, people would be like, whoa, I don't know what happened in that meeting, but there's something weird that happened. That's all I know. It was weird. Praise God. I left there. I had a little tickle me, Jesus. You know, if I was up here jerking all night, I tried to bite my ear a few times, you know. If we went through that process, that wouldn't do a lot of good for anybody. We need to actually have raw spiritual horsepower, which is the Word of God. Praise God. That's the truth. But God, if he says it, you can have it. And a few days ago, I had a vision, and the Lord said, I want you to preach on this. I saw a dome over the earth, you know, like in Genesis, when it talked about there was a great canopy around the earth, and it stopped the water. And when it rained, they'd never seen rain before. The Lord showed me there's people financially in the body of Christ that have not the body of Christ as a whole has not tapped their potential yet financially. We're supposed to be the number one superpower financially on the face of the earth. The body of Christ is. The body of Christ is. And I believe God has literally, it says, listen to me, when it talks about in Malachi that the windows of heaven will be opened up for you into your storehouses, you won't have enough room to contain it. That's called waste. People say, God doesn't waste anything. Really? How many baskets were left over after the miracle, the 5 loaves and 2 fish? Did the disciples have enough to just eat for lunch, or what was that about? That's called superfluous, unnecessary overflow. Unnecessary, where God's like, hold out your glass, you hold it out, and he starts pouring. And it's almost like he looks away while he's pouring. I don't know what's going on over here. I'm just pouring. Wait, that's not enough. Get me a fire hose. You know, and the water's flying everywhere. That's how God thinks. And we're like, Jesus, can I pay my light bill this month? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And now listen, we've been in tough financial positions over the years. But I got to tell you, Jesus, God is not worried about it. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to overflow. And I know there's been abuses with all these kind of things. But listen to me, that is not God's heart. And God wants you to literally have horsepower in the area of resources. He actually told me to get on this hard with a conviction. I've preached it hard. I'm just saying this for a moment because here's the reason. If you get a hold of this, you can be trusted with all the spiritual gifts. Finances is the very first place you're to be faithful in and learn how to flow, giving and receiving. That's before you learn to prophesy. That's before you learn to do all the gifts of the Spirit. You start in finances, the fundamentals of giving and receiving, and God can trust you with anything. So this last year, we've given 2 cars away. We gave everything we possibly could give away. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to every minister I could stuff their pockets in. And after doing that for about a decade, the Lord said, now you're in a position where you can preach this with authority. And when I decided, I'm going to do this. I decided I was going to give $1 million to a ministry. When I made that decision, I got into the fight of my life over finances. Devil should have killed me, though, because it's too late now. Amen. Pastor Tom, come on. Praise God. Some of you are looking at me like, what does this have to do with prophecy? This is the beginning point if you want to wield the gifts of the Spirit. This is where you really start to learn. If you want to be like God, who God so loved the world, he prophesied to the world. He did what? He warmed up the hearts of the world. He said, oh, he rebuked the devil for the world. God so loved the world, he what? Gave his best. Gave his best. He gave his best. He gave his best. And Jesus was sown as a seed into this world. And he came back. And he was the firstborn among many brethren. God gave the most costly gift any of us could even comprehend. And the return of that seed is you and me. So when we're giving and we're sowing and we're tithing, we're doing things, it's the same. We're just acting like God. You know, we're quick to get into these different kinds of plans and all that stuff, but God has a better plan than the Ramsey plan. And God bless Ramsey. He's got God's economy. Thank you, Jesus. It's a lot better than stuffing envelopes. And if that's where you are, praise God. Do what you need to do. But God really wants to bring you higher than this. So, man, I have such a conviction over this that we literally watch all these ungodly corporations take over. We watch other people do these things. And that's part of, we know that that's part of the world system that's going to work like that. That's a Babylonian idea. That's Babylon's way of building things. And they did it in unity with the Tower of Babel. And God wants you to break through in all these areas too. He wants you to dominate. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Because I don't know what your Bible says, but mine says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. For the righteous. But if the righteous aren't positioned and they don't believe it and they don't sow like it, they don't live like it, they don't walk like it, you will not get that flow. But he showed me it's time to break that barrier. It's time to break that veil. It's time to pierce that and said that there's a lot more out there that we haven't tapped yet. And the body of Christ has been duped in this area. Duped in it. I mean, just totally hoodwinked to the point that we think, well, you know, just don't have too much. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, weep, howl, and mourn, you rich. When it talks about weep, howl, and mourn, you rich, it's talking about mammon. Talking about those who trust in uncertain riches. And they think money makes them rich. Money doesn't make you rich, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know that? Everybody okay? Am I getting next to you tonight? Money's not what makes you rich. Money's not what makes you wealthy. True wealth is because of the blessing that God spoke over Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it came to Jesus. And we access that through Jesus. So I got to tell you, there's life in this thing. So the spoken word of God, if God says something, you can have it. You can have it. But remember, there's a here principle and a there principle. And you got to do corresponding action. If you do something in the natural that is faith-based, you literally, when Ryan said that phrase, he said it. God spoke it. If he speaks it, that's it. And if you settle that in your heart, that you find it in the Word of God, he says it, he speaks it, that's it. And you stand on that word, you say, no, no, God spoke it. He spoke it. He spoke it. Your body screams at you, oh, I'm in pain. You're like, I know I'm in pain. But he said, he spoke it. And God loves it when you get bold like that and you start believing the word of God like that. That's when you begin to have real, raw, spiritual horsepower. That's overcomer's talk. That's how you get there. And that's how winning's done, ladies and gentlemen. You start to say, no, God spoke it. Peter said to Jesus, he said, Lord, if it be you, if it's you, he put it in a question to Jesus. If it's you, Lord, bid me come. What was Jesus going to say? It's not me. It ain't me. Jesus only had one answer. It's me. So he said, come. Because he couldn't say it's not me. He said, is it you, Lord? If it's you, then you say come. And Jesus said, come. And he came on his word. He walked on that word. He walked on the word, come this way. And he began to walk on it. That's what Brian was teaching us tonight. That's powerful. Whatever God says in his word, that is your promise. That is your covenant. And we take that like it's a Bible promise card. Oh, that's my verse for today. That is not the way to approach this. You look at that like it's a written contract signed by God in blood. When there's a promise in the Word of God, it was a contract between God and us, written in blood. In blood. Not in a contract that can be broken. And it was so intense, the fact that it was so intense, God didn't make the promise with you and I. He said, I could swear by none greater, Hebrews 6 says. I couldn't swear by any greater. So I made this promise, I swore by myself. So God made a promise with himself and sealed it in written blood by Jesus' blood. That whatever he says, we can have. And people say, I don't like that. Well, I didn't ask you. And neither did God. Praise God. I've had people get all offended and I'm like, I'm sorry that you're tripping on your own shoelaces doctrinally, but I just got to tell you, Jesus loves you. And this is good news, man. Religion will fight to just hurt itself and kill other people. It'll do all these things. But boy, you say you're blessed. The moment you say, no, you're blessed. I mean, God wants you to have everything. He wants you to rock and roll in this world and enjoy life and overcome and take charge of things and be debt free and be healed and have victory. Religion's like, no, that's not God. That's not God. Praise God. Remember when the angel showed up and said to Mary, it said, be of good cheer, you most high, favored of the Lord. Or you're not most high, but you are favored of the Lord most high. He said that to Mary. And she's like, oh, not me, Lord. You know, she was all humble about it. If the angel would have came to Mary and said, you rotten woman, God is coming to talk to you. She'd have been like, that's God. Yep, that was the voice of God for me. Sounds like God. Yep. Religion today, if an angel showed up with his sword drawn and been like, I am here to rebuke thee today. Many people be like, I know it, Jesus, I know it. They go to their knee. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus paid it all for us. He paid it all for you. He paid it all. Praise God. So when we talk about, you know, I just got on the wealth thing and all that. You say, how much is too much? Well, to whatever you can ask or think or hope. He will do exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ask or believe, according to the power that works in you, according to the known power that works in you. It says in 1 John chapter, I believe 3, where it says that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. But notice he never changed. God never changes. Our heart changes. In other words, what you believe. Beloved, 3 John chapter 1. Beloved, I wish above all things you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your soul is the way your thinking and believing is. I wish you would prosper and be in health, and above all things that you'd prosper, even as your soul prospers. You'll never rise above your level of believing. What you believe is where you top out. God will do exceedingly and abundantly above that. But it's still where you top out. So I say, take the lid off. Ryan gave a great word tonight. And the part that really caught me was when God began to speak. If he said it, you can have it. You say, I don't know about that. The Bible rebukes rich. The Bible does this. The Bible does that. What about the rich young ruler? What about this? I'd go into all that for an hour tonight. You'd be going, oh, that's pretty good. Here's what we got to understand about this, though. Very simply put. God wants you rich. Let me take it a step further. God needs you rich. Now, if there's any religion, listen to this. Right now, they have a squealing pig in the backseat. Wee, wee, tsh, quiet. Wee. That's what's going on. Praise God. It's time to make some bacon tonight. Hallelujah. Crispy bacon. Yeah. I got to tell you, this is the deal. God wants you to prosper. And that's not just talking about money. It's talking about many things. But it is money. That's a big part of it. It really is. But that's not the whole thing. When I got a hold of this, we started to step into a season of a spirit of increase that came on us. The devil tried to literally torpedo me and destroy me. Because I went, whoa, I'm going to set people, God, this will set people free. And he tried to torpedo us, destroy us, rip us apart because of it. Because I started to see people get set free. Increase. You know what increase means? It means everything your hand touches begins to increase. It means your body's healthy. It means your children are good. It means that you begin to have holdings in different things, properties, homes, whatever. And God begins to increase you. And that's his will. And you say, well, I just don't know if I can believe it. Well, then congratulations. Don't grow. It doesn't make you a sinner or evil or wrong. It just means you're just not living in his best. And he loves you where you are. No condemnation. You say, well, wait a second. Well, how does this work? The blessing is what makes riches, not money. There's a lot of broke rich people out there. A lot of people with millions and billions of dollars, and they are broke and they are fools. You can have no money in your bank account, and literally because of the Spirit of Christ Jesus in you, already possess something you don't see manifested, and you are rich. You're rich already. And if you stand there in faith and you keep executing in agreement with what you already possess in the Spirit, it will certainly come to pass into the natural. It will come to pass in the natural that wealth will begin to manifest into your natural arena. It is a spiritual law. Why? Because Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich with no sorrow added to it. The world's way and the world's economy, weep, hull, and mourn you rich, is riches with sorrow added to it. It's get all you can all you get, and sit on that can. That's the world's economy. Step on the other guy. No, don't give. You put that in savings and you just tuck it away. God's economy is give, and it will be given unto you, superfluously, overflowing. I was in Washington State almost a year ago now. I was in Washington State with Jason. We're both there. I was in a hotel room praying, and the Lord said, I want you to establish where I've placed you. I want you to do some things, and I want you to get up right now and go downstairs into the lobby, the restaurant in the hotel. And I said, okay. He said, get down there. So I walked down there. I'm listening to the Lord. I walked into the lobby, and I went into the restaurant. I said, why am I here? And I felt the Spirit jump, just like, be here. And so I went to go sit down with Jason, and I looked, and over to my right was Brian Head Welch. He was sitting in the lobby in the restaurant. And he's the lead guitarist of the rock band Korn, if you guys know who that is. And he's over there, and the Lord said, go talk to him. So we'd done a conference together. Ryan and I and him done a conference together before. Walked over and said hi to him. He's like, oh, Minneapolis, yeah, this and that and that. And it was good exchange. And it just kind of came to a close. We said, hey, we're doing things with Todd White now. We're doing all these things. It's amazing. And we're both like, oh, that's amazing. We had a good it was a good connection to see this. And I said, Lord, did you want me to meet with him and hang out? And he said, no, that's all. Back to your room. I said, okay. I went back up to the room. I get back up in the room, and I'm in the room, and the Lord said to me, I need you to start expanding your thinking, because I have many places you're going to go, and you're going to start being on those kind of platforms with many different known people. And it began where he said, and I want to bless you superfluously. And I said, what does that word mean? So I went and I looked it up. I Googled it. What is superfluous? What does superfluous mean? I looked it up, and it means an overflowing abundance that's even unnecessary. It's like, you're blessed unnecessarily. And I'm telling you tonight, God wants to bless you superfluously in your body, in your mind, in your family, in your marriage, in your finances. And people say, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, maybe just try. Because I got to tell you something. What you've been doing hadn't been working. It hadn't been working. You know, we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, thinking we're going to get different results. There's a technical term for that. It's called insanity, right? Insanity. So here's what I'm saying to you tonight, is that God said, I want to bless you superfluously. And I said, okay. He said, you need to start believing bigger. You have thought way too small. You've thought way too small. I need you to get on radio. I need you to get on television. I need you to get here and here and here. He said, I have need of your voice to do these things. And so we started thinking bigger. We started building kingdom movement. And that's just our lane. But I'm talking about your lane right now. I challenge you to start thinking bigger and start taking all limitations off the living God. Start taking every limitation off God. Because oftentimes we think, well, because of experience, we think he can't do certain things. When the truth of the matter is this, he's already done it. He's already done it. It's finished. So back to first in the natural, then in the spirit. Everybody remember that part? First in the natural, then in the spirit. The spirit is the realm of grace. Listen to me very carefully. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says that we are saved by grace through faith. It says there that the realm of the Spirit is the realm of grace. So when I'm talking about the Spirit, that's equal to grace, where everything is completed before God. In the realm of the Spirit, you're healed, you're delivered, you're set free. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says that we are a spirit, we are a soul, we have a body. And the spirit realm is where everything is done. That's the realm of grace. God finished his works in the spirit. It's done. We still have a fight in this natural because our natural bodies are not saved yet. Okay? But in the spirit, it's done. So when I say spirit, I want you to think grace. Okay? In the natural, we move by faith. And when you move by faith in the natural, you are tapping what is already done in grace and pulling it into the realm of the seen. I'm going to say that again. This is so awesome, guys. When you get a hold of what's already finished in the realm of the spirit, the realm of grace where God lives and he completed it, he's done. When Jesus said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, it was finished. He paid the appropriate price for mankind. And then he died and came back to life to double down on it. It is finished. In the spirit, it's totally done. Your salvation is sure. It's done. And so is your healing. So is your mental soundness. So is your prosperity. So is your deliverance. So is your relational wholeness. So is every other area. Your protection, your provision, your salvation from hell. All these things are there. You can be made whole in your body, not just healed. Whole. Whole. Like the 10 lepers. The one came back, said thank you. They were all healed. The one walked away, and as he went, he was made whole. Being made whole means you restored everything that fell off your body. All of this is as easy as a headache for Jesus. And it works in every area. So what we've got to do is stretch out our faith. When you put the word of God in your heart, in your mind, and you reach out to the realm of the unseen and you draw it into the natural. Oh, the devil hates this message. Hates this message. You preach this message, the devil's like, not that one. Let him talk about, ooh, tickle me, Jesus. I like that one. Because it doesn't do anything. You want to get real raw spiritual horsepower? You start mixing the word of God with faith inside you. You start speaking to things that are not as though they were. You start talking the word of God. You begin to line up in the realm of the spirit and draw it into the realm of the seen. And you're unmoved by what you're experiencing in your body at the moment. You're unmoved by that. The other day, I had my back go out in a way I'd never had it go out before. I'm talking excruciating pain. I was so in so much pain, and I said, okay, you get off my back right now in the name of Jesus. And it didn't let go. It got worse. Doubled down on me. And so I leaned into it. And it was about 3 a.m. I rolled out of bed in excruciating agony. Rolled out of bed, and I stood up. And finally, I just said, okay, I guess I'm not sleeping. And I said, since I'm not sleeping, you're not sleeping. I said to the kingdom of darkness, and I meant it. And so we got into it. So Heather gets up. She's like, oh, you're really hurting. I was like, could you show a little compassion? I'm in a lot of pain, you know? You know, Heather's had multiple surgeries over the years and different things. She was on dialysis for 3 years. She went through a 5-year fight to finally get a kidney transplant. I've seen her go through, hellish things. And she's just like, I'm fine. And I'm going, I'd be like, don't you know what I'm going through? But in this moment, I literally had the enemy trying to fight me. And I said, if I'm up, you're up. And so I just began to laugh at my pain. I'm talking laughing at it. And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. And he said, that sounds like a fake laugh. No, it's a faith laugh. And I was laughing at the pain. I was mocking the pain. And it would grab harder. And I was like, ah, oh, yeah, woo, oh, that hurts. Oh, Jesus. And I would just go hard. And I did it all night until the morning. I had a live broadcast that next morning. And I kept going. I'll tell you what, this stuff works. And I punched through for a few days. I slept uncomfortably, tried to work with the pain. And I just kept saying, no, I'm not surrendering to this. Then my friend Daniel Amstutz came over, laid hands on me. And when he did, I had a few breakthroughs already. Heather prayed for me and I was standing against it. When he did, something began to release. And then I immediately said, you know what? I'm going to go stack some tables. And everybody's like, no, don't do it. And I said, no, I just received a healing. And I began to work it out by faith. I'll tell you what, it totally left me. Totally. It would have taken 2 months to get therapy out of that one. Because I know what I did. I put it out bad. And I'm talking, it was like an injury. It was bad. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying because your finances works the same way. You ever given before? And I remember the first time I gave $100. I'll never forget this. It was like, boom, I watched the plate and it went. I watched the usher take it. I watched him pass it all the way and I watched him all the way to the back. I watched him gather them together and I thought, there's still time. And then they disappeared behind the wall, and I was like, oh. There's just so much, like, $100, Jesus. And then we began to press into that. And for years, I was a $100 man. $100 man. $100 man. I remember the first time the Lord challenged me to give $500. I was like, oh, my gosh, $500. Oh, Jesus. I thought I was going to pass out. There's been times that the Lord's had me give $10,000, $20,000, vehicles, property, lots of resources in single shots. And I'm working my way up to $1 million. And you say, why would you do that? Because if he can get it through me, he'll get it to me. Praise God. And just one quick thought with that kind of God's economy stuff. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. Here, mortal men receive tithes. There, he receives it, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. When you're giving here, you're giving directly to Jesus. When you're giving into the Word. I'll tell you what, when you're giving into the Word, even if somebody doesn't do what you think was appropriate with it, you know, once you give your resources to the pastor's ministry, to this ministry here, and you give resources to them, it's not your business what happens with it after that. Do you guys know that?
Yeah.
Praise God. If he dances in the parking lot and lights it on fire.
I don't care.
Woo! You know, you might be like, we need to find another church, you know, but I'm just saying, it's still not your business because it was a spiritual seed. And people get offended over money because they were never giving it to Jesus. They gave it with strings.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. It's the truth. Praise God. Now, a pastor would never do that. This is a man of God right here. Praise God. You're at a church and a pastor starts lighting it on fire and does a jig in the parking lot. You might want to find a new church home. I'm just saying. Praise God. But praise God. Here's the deal. Is that God wants you to really walk as it is in heaven, let it be on earth now. As a matter of fact, people say, we're going to build the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. Well, Romans 14 talks about it. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not doing this or doing that. The kingdom of God is not a formula. It's not a way of doing this or doing that or building this and calling it the kingdom and labeling it this. It's not a new building project. It's not people doing something. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And that kingdom is within you. That's the kingdom. That's the definition of the kingdom of God. Righteousness with God. Jesus made you righteous. Peace that passes understanding that's in Jesus. And joy, the horsepower to overcome anything in life. So praise God. And one of the first ways you begin to access the kingdom of God is not just your salvation. Yes, we must be saved. That's a free gift. It's a done deal. We're in, man. And there's no prerequisite. You just call in the name of the Lord. You're saved, man. And save me, Jesus, is a smart prayer. Save me, Jesus. Can't do it on myself. I repent, God. Save me. You know? But after that, you want to start moving forward. You want to access spiritual gifts. You want to step into things. You can't buy the anointing, but you sow and it begins to unlock things in your life. Praise God. Boy, I got onto that. Thank you, Jesus. It'll set you free, ladies and gentlemen. I'm bold about this because I don't care. And you know what else? We don't need your offering. We're blessed. We are going to receive an offering tonight, and I hope you drop $1 million on us tonight. I do, man. I hope you like blow our minds. Like, okay, preacher, watch this. You preach that stuff, I'll blow your mind. I'd be like, praise God. Right, and I'll be high-fiving and going, thank you, Jesus. You know, we can go build the kingdom, get more young people saved, see the word of God go swiftly and be glorified. We could see stuff happen around the world. We can get on television faster. We could do all of it. Praise God if you feel compelled to do something. But there is no compulsion from me. None. But what I want to say about it is, for your sake, Paul said it to the Philippians. I don't think about what you're doing for me, he said. I'm thinking about it for your sake. And you know what? A revelation that finally came to me this year. Ray, I had a revelation this year. I was sitting there and I was praying, and it was probably, well, it was about a year and a half ago, actually. Time flies when you're having fun. It was about a year and a half ago, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord, all of a sudden it dawned on me. I was reading Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 over and over again, where it talks about the fivefold ministry is here to edify and build up the saints for the work of ministry. Equip them. I saw that, and I thought, okay, wow. And it's like a word of revelation came to me that ministry wasn't about me. I mean, we know that. Everybody goes to Bible college, they do things, they're doing ministry, and they're like, yeah, it's not about me, it's about Jesus, it's about this and that. But yet you see people building their brand, building their name, building all this stuff, and they strive and strive and strive to really get themselves out there. And I had an epiphany. I realized it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me. Now, I knew that, but something went from, I'm serving God. And I'd stay with people. I'd minister to them. Literally, I'm one of the hardest working ministers you're ever going to meet when it comes to praying for people. We'll stay till 3 a.m. till people get their breakthrough, okay? We do that. I've prophesied to hundreds or even thousands of people in meetings. And this last season, I didn't have anywhere to preach. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought me to this conclusion. It's time for you to start loving people. And I was like, oh, wait a second. So ministry's about people. It's about your people, God. It's about building the body of Christ. And I had a revelation and an epiphany that made me fall in love with the body of Christ. And I understand why Paul said in all the trials and tribulations and all the things he went through, he said, and on top of all these things was the great concern for the church. And Philippians talks about that when he says so clearly there. He said, I don't want you to give for my sake, not for my benefit. Yes, we're able to go do things and all that, but it's for your sake because you're building up an account in heaven. You're building up an account. Did you know every one of you has an account right now in the Spirit? I have an account in the Spirit. And when you sow aggressively and you sow in faith and you do these things, you are putting stuff into your account. And Jesus, he's a good banker. He doesn't lose. I have seed out there right now that is going to come back to me so aggressively, it's going to put us on television. I know it is. I know it is. Praise God. I'm one of these guys, you go out with me, man, I will buy dinner every chance I get. I will do whatever I can because I don't want to just be a sower and a reaper. I also want to be generous because Proverbs says the generous will be watered. Those who refresh others will they themselves be watered. I don't go broke. I don't have deficits because God is my banker. Amen. Amen. Is that okay? I want to say that to you guys tonight. So we are going to receive an offering, but please don't feel any like, oh, geez, we better do something here. If you feel that way, keep it in your pocket. But if you really feel like, man, we want to help, we want to stand with this ministry, I'm going to minister to folks tonight. We're going to prophesy. But I'll tell you what, if you really want to stand and see something happen in your life, this is great ground to sow in. It really is. You say, how do we know that? Well, test it. Watch. Because we have increase on us, man. I'm telling you, increase. Praise God. And we're just going forward. We literally are about to go on XM radio with a potential listening audience of 30 million listeners. Ryan and I just put together a youth conference in Colorado that Todd White's going to keynote for us. And it's going to be a great conference, a tremendous time. We expect 3,000 young people at that. 3,000 young people. We're talking fire baptized, Holy Ghost. We're going to introduce them to the power of the living God. Yeah. So that's what we're after. Praise God. So that's the deal. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.